Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Reformation is a confession of the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. That is, it's all about Jesus, who he is, and what he does. If it weren't, it'd be nothing. For it's Jesus alone who dies and bleeds, bearing the sins of the whole world. It's Jesus alone who reconciles men to his Father in heaven. If you would rightly understand the Reformation, then you must confess Jesus rightly, living as one baptized, redeemed and set at liberty by him, absolved of your sins, feasting on his body and blood offered up once for all. Jesus, though, says the church suffers violence. The violent lay violent hands upon her to destroy her, to silence her confession of Jesus. You need only think of the holy prophets, martyrs, and confessors, of Luther, and of your brothers and sisters across the world and what they faced and are still facing. That the gates of hell will never prevail against the church isn't a promise of peace in this life, but is, in fact, the opposite. The church and her children suffer violence in this life, but in spite of that, by the promise of God in Christ Jesus, she will not be overcome. But violence also comes from within the church, in heresy and blasphemy. The arch-heretic Arius wasn't an atheist or pagan philosopher, but a priest. Vast swaths of bishops, theologians, and priests claimed God's forgiveness in Christ was something to be earned or even bought and sold. Today, those who claim the name of Christ, who even claim to believe every single word of the Bible, outright deny the efficacy of holy baptism, withhold it from Jesus' littlest ones, and deny that the Lord's Supper is the body and blood of Jesus. On the other hand, how many so-called bishops, pastors, theologians, and Christians have bought into the lie regarding human sexuality, marriage, the order of creation, creation itself, and even the person and work of Jesus? How can you claim to be a Christian, yet disregard those portions of God's holy word you don't like? And for what? To be accepted and fit in among men? So what violence does the devil stir up in your heart? Do you despise pure doctrine, or closed communion, or confessing the name of Jesus rightly? After all, that can and does cause strife and division among your family and friends. It makes you uncomfortable. Oh, sure, Jesus is fine and good as long as everyone gets along and is smiling. But when he brings a sword and not peace, well, then he can hit the road. But maybe, more simply, you use violent words to betray, belittle, and cut down your brother in Christ. Maybe you have no mercy or compassion for your neighbor in need, contenting yourself that someone else, be it the government, a charity, another church, anybody else, will take care of him. You like to rail against the Pope, but within your heart dwells an even more vile tyrant. The kingdom of heaven suffers the violence of your hatred and greed. This violence from within the church and within your own heart is the most insidious form. By it, the devil steals the comfort and joy that Christ's death for you is free. He steals faith itself. For if the violence comes from the outside, then it can, like fire purifies gold, purify and strengthen the faithful. But if it comes from within, if you have to earn God's favor, how do you know you've done enough? If it can be bought and sold, have you paid enough? To deny and reject Jesus, who he is and what he does for you, is to gut the faith of any substance, hope, and confidence. What then is left but fear, despair, unbelief? and death. Repent and turn away from your sins. Amend your deeds and your life. Deplore of your own merits and strength. Turn rather to Jesus and cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness. He will, by his word and holy sacraments, change your heart and strengthen you to live in this life as a Christian. This eternal gospel is nothing less than the death of the man Jesus upon the cross for your sake, and the gifts he gives freely thereupon. For you who are overcome by the violence from within and from without, for you who suffer, doubt, and waver, Jesus suffers all the violence of the law's accusations, of the devil, the world, and of your own fallen flesh. He endures the violence of your sin and the full fire of the Father's wrath for it. And he overcomes them all. The serpent's head is crushed. The law answered, the Father appeased, and the grave empty. Jesus lives. You are reconciled to the Father, and the kingdom is opened to you once more in Jesus' pierced body and shed blood. Gladly and willingly, Jesus hangs upon the cross to write his name upon your heart in holy baptism. He dies to breathe out his Spirit upon you, that you may hear and believe his word, and so know, in his flesh, the true and living God. He dies to forgive your iniquity and remember your sin no more, to give himself as food, that you may eat, drink, and live eternally. Jesus pours out his blood to wash you clean of all violence and join himself to you. This eternal, cruciform, fleshly gospel may at times have been forgotten or obscured, but it has never been lost. Thus, the whole Christian life is all about Jesus. It's Jesus alone who dies and pours out his forgiving and cleansing blood, who gives gifts to men in word, water, bread, and wine. Read the Old Testament and the prophets, the fathers and the martyrs. Read even Luther. This is the church's most ancient confession, a substitute, the divine seed of woman and son of David, freely given to reconcile you to the Father and to open his kingdom to you. And his name is Jesus. Should it be any surprise then that when violence comes against the church, the faithful stand firm? How else do you think the prophets stood so against kings, that the martyrs went fearlessly to the Colosseum, that Luther could declare, "Here I stand," that your brothers and sisters in Christ, even now, give their necks to the satanic swords of Islam? For when the church suffers violence, the violent take it by force, that is, from his cross and through his means of grace. Jesus plants within you steadfast and obstinate faith and trust in his word that will not be moved. You are baptized, absolved, and fed for war. War against the world, war against your fallen flesh, war against the devil. You are, after all, the church militant. And by your violently stubborn faith in Christ Jesus, you shall take even the kingdom. So in the hour of ridicule and persecution, do not be afraid. Jesus will give you the words to speak and the confession to make that will not waver. You shall not be overcome. The Reformation is all about Jesus. Then, now, forever, it's still all about Jesus. For he alone overcomes the violence of the world and of your heart by his body pierced and his blood poured out upon the holy cross. Yes, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but Jesus rescues and redeems you, forgiving your violence, making your hands clean, and planting within you a stubborn and steadfast faith in him. Now he comes to reform you by his body and blood that you may live. Your sins are forgiven. And that is worthy of celebration, not just this day, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen.